listening to the Common Good Podcast from Jubilee Economics. This is episode 54 with hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson and guest Lan Richard.
You walk into a dark room and flip the switch. The light comes on. How much coal was mined and burned for the energy that puts lights into your life? Even if you have an electric car, is the electricity that charges it coming from renewable sources? And what's your answer to this question? Worldwide, is the energy that comes from coal increasing or decreasing annually in this century? Well, I'm too shocked at the answer not to give it to you right away. Here it is. The International Energy Agency, tongue twister for me, says on their website that coal use has never stopped growing. It's been going up every year and continues to. Between 2000 and 2012, coal use worldwide increased by 60%. 40% of energy worldwide comes from coal. Half of that is mined in the U.S. And in the U.S., we're just 1% better. 39% of our energy in 2013 came from coal. So just how much coal does get burned to light our homes and the other buildings we use? How much more to cook a meal on an electric stove or to brew coffee at your favorite coffee and tea shop? Do you know by what date your electrical energy supplier will be sending you electricity generated only by renewables? As of this year, San Diego Gas and Electric, my utility company, uses no coal, the first year they've achieved that. They use lots of natural gas, and they're nearing 33% on renewables. Right now, it leads the nation in not using coal. Well, stay with us today as we talk with EcoJustice Collaborative workers on the coal, and they're working in the coal fields of Illinois. They're working on closing them, that is. But they're not just working there. They're just working on justice for Earth and all people. For example, have you heard of Bioneers? Folks who are biological pioneers. Well, our guest will tell us about the pioneers' work of the EcoJustice Collaborative. Well, after listening, talk back to us, would you? Hi, Jerry. Greetings from San Diego, California.
Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California.
Jerry, I want to thank you for doing this interview with Lan Richard. I got to know Lan in the 1990s when I became pastor at the congregation he and his wife Pam attended. That was in the western suburbs of Chicago. At the time, Lan was creating healthy wetlands in the business that, well, his business was about creating healthy wetlands. He wasn't doing it in the business building. And he and Pam owned, she led municipalities in planning their futures, helping them factor in environmental benefits and costs. They retired early from that business. They sold it, moved into Chicago from the suburbs, and formed the nonprofit EcoJustice Collaborative. They've just moved south to Champaign, Illinois, because that puts them in the middle of the state and much closer to the vast Illinois coal fields being mined to meet our species' voracious appetite for energy. Their work reveals the high costs of that kind of that source for energy. The side effects, the side costs of coal that aren't directly part of the mining include such things as the healthcare costs from coal dusts and the dirty air from burning the coal. The destruction of species life depends on that happens as a result of mining displacing them from their habitat. The raising of global temperatures by oversaturating the air with carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases from the burning of coal. The destroying neighborhoods and rural culture as the mining displaces people from the human habitat, contaminating freshwater streams, underground water, and drinking wells. These are side effects that we're becoming more and more conscious of. Well, Pam and Lan do their eco-justice work not just by opposing Coalfield and point out the mistakes that we're making in the world. They have a passion for an eco-justice that counters these injustices with informed convictions about a just world and why a just world works better for everyone and all of life. One example of how they do that is the last couple of years they've coordinated Bioneers conferences in the Chicago region. The clever word that comes from the pioneers in their work on the biosphere. I also want to say, by the way, that Lan and Pam were part of Jubilee Economics from its beginning in 2000, and they continued until they formed the Eco-Justice Collaborative. So their eco-justice work amazes me in its scope and passion. Just take a look at their website. We'll include that site on our introduction to this episode. They put themselves all out and then leverage that energy, which is considerable. They leverage their considerable energy through collaborations with others. Their vision is spawned by imagination and spirituality. What they do flows from their faith. It flows from their love for the planet. They bring their business experience to it. They have a sense of aesthetics. And they really research the best science they can. So this interview really connects the Common Good podcast with the early impulses, the spirit, and the human experiences that gave birth to Jubilee Economics back in the late 1999 in Chicago.
Let's go now to that interview previously recorded. I'm so glad to speak to Lan Richard again. I met Lan almost 10 years ago when he hosted me at the Jubilee House, Jubilee Economics House in Chicago. And so this is a wonderful chance to get reacquainted. So, Lan, I'd like to start from the beginning. You were there at the founding of Jubilee Economics Ministries. And I'd like you to tell us a little bit of background about that founding and about the Chicago House.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jerry. And it's a pleasure to speak with you today. Yes, I was there at the very beginning of Jubilee Economics Ministries. At that time, my wife Pam and I were part of a local church in western suburbs of Chicago. Lee Van Ham was the pastor there. And we began some conversations about, kind of discerning where we were in life and how we related to the kind of the global picture, the global economy, et cetera. We were at that time, I think early on, coming together as a small group and taking a look at the initial book by Ross and Gloria Kinsler, Biblical Jubilee and the Struggle for Life, I guess it was. And it brought up many, many questions. And so over the number of months we met and we shared our discernment process, and each of us were in some kind of transition. And eventually that moved into more of a formal formation of Jubilee Economics Ministry with Lee and his wife Juanita. And Pam and I also were part of that group. I believe at that time Pam was on the board of Jubilee Economics Ministries. And that also was planted the early seeds of what is now the Eco-Justice Collaborative, the nonprofit that Pam and I co-direct. It was an exciting time, and it has evolved over the years into some very different ways for all of us, but some very nourishing ways, and continue the challenge for us.
You came into this with some significant experience, and we'll talk a lot more about Eco-Justice Collaborative. I think you were into wetlands restoration, And Pam was also in city planning.
That's true. We at that time were principals, co-owners of a land use and environmental planning firm in the western suburbs. My background is in ecology. I'm trained as an ecologist. Pam is a land use and environmental planner. And we were, as I said, part of this firm. We had a fairly large staff. We were doing some very good work, I believe. And in many ways, you know, after we started the firm, it took a few years to get going, but it was fairly prosperous. And we were on what I might say is, you know, the pursuit of the great American dream, wealth building, accruing all the accoutrements of a prosperous life. You know, it allowed us to purchase a nice home in the western suburbs. We had a vacation home in northern Wisconsin. We had several cars, a boat, all kinds of things like that. I think it was this transitional period where we began to really question that and the overall wisdom and of it, and whether it really nourished us in a way that we wanted to be nourished. And it was disturbing in many ways, because it shook us up a little bit, and it called us to be making changes that we didn't necessarily on one part of our part of us didn't really want to make those changes. And so I think it was really, really a good time in that respect. We, with the folks from, you know, the early days of GEM, took a trip to Chiapas. It was one of the several that Pam and I took, what I think we call them trips of transformation. And it allowed us to begin to see the incredible impact that the developed world, and in particular the U.S., had on other parts of the planet in terms of exploitation, frankly, of people and resources, and how we as privileged parts of the U.S. Were benefiting from that at the expense of others and at the expense of the Earth. And it was those realizations, those trips of transformation, that really moved us along in the path to make some changes in our life.
Since Lee and Juanita moved to San Diego, then you have gotten quite involved in this Eco Justice Collaborative. Now, the motto for the collaborative is living responsibly for the Earth and all people. That's a really big motto, a really big goal. And so maybe you could tell us a little bit about the mission of the organization and some of the actions that you've taken in the last half decade.
The Eco Justice Collaborative was formally established in 2007, as I said, an outgrowth of GEM. And what Eco Justice Collaborative does is provides a variety of things, but it's basically popular education, it's advocacy, and it's inspiring people to action. That's really what we are about. We try to make connections between local actions, individual and more local actions, and larger global issues. One of the big things we're working on, overarching themes, is global climate change. And in that respect, it has moved us into areas of organizing to reduce our dependency on fossil fuels, in particular coal. In our own state of Illinois, coal is a very dominant has a very dominant presence. And one of our challenges is to help make coal pay its full price in terms of socioeconomic and environmental costs. So we've done a lot of work in that area. We do public speaking. We host events. We've recently, in the last couple of years, been part of leading two major conferences under what's called the Great Lakes Chicago Bioneers. And so we've done a lot of organizing. Another major project we did, we were instrumental in reigniting the campaign to close two coal-fired power plants in Chicago, the Fisk and Crawford power plants, who were nearly 100 years old and continuing to pollute the area, including communities of color and moderate income. So we led the Chicago Clean Power Coalition and helped reignite it. So a whole variety of things that we do, and we actually just recently moved from Chicago to Champaign, Illinois, in order to be closer to the communities with which we're working in those communities who are affected by the fossil fuel industry.
Let's back up one little step, because I really enjoy watching the Bioneers on satellite TV. I would love to go to a Bioneers conference in Northern California sometime, or one of the remote Bioneers conferences. But for our listeners who aren't familiar with Bioneers, give us a quick definition, explanation of what it does and how it does it.
Well, Bioneers it's always a challenge to define Bioneers in a soundbite, but I think that David Orr, who's with the Oberlin Project in Oberlin, Ohio, called it the leading edge of the world we want to create. And what Bioneers is I like to think of it as a movement, although it does have a centerpiece national gathering in San Rafael, California, every October, and a number of satellite or more local events throughout the country. Bioneers is bringing together cutting-edge folks, visionaries, entrepreneurs, people who are doing very positive things to address our significant social, economic, and environmental challenges through the lens of the Earth. The question is, how would the Earth approach these solutions, provide solutions to these problems? So it's a very exciting and kind of a wide open format. Pam and I, through the Eco Justice Collaborative, were lead organizers for a major event in Chicago in 2012 and another one in 2013. We brought national and international speakers to the area. We hosted them, had workshops, interactive sessions, music, poetry, dance, all around this larger theme of Bioneers. And much of that can be viewed, or some of it can be viewed through our website, ecojusticecollaborative.org. But it was a very exciting time in our life also to do this. It took a great deal of organizing effort, over a year to plan the first one. We had never really been, we'd done small events, but nothing of this scale. And it was quite successful. We are, with our move to Champaign, we're hoping to cultivate the possibility or cultivate another Bioneers in central Illinois. And right now, Pam is working with a small group of folks in Chicago to see about doing a follow-up event of some sort in 2015, which will take advantage of one of the things we did in our last event. Was we brought our national speakers, local specialists, and other participants in the conference together in fairly large roundtables on issues of food and water and energy and community resilience, waste, about five different areas. And they addressed the local problems in Chicago and came up with ideas of how to move forward, how to help bring solutions to those problems. And this year's, or 2015 rather, would be following up on that and bringing, perhaps doing a summary report and having, again, discussions around those issues. So a lot of potential in Bioneers. Chicago is just one of a number of locations throughout the country that host those, but we thought as we were planning the Chicago Bioneers event, it needed to be something of great, some kind of weight suitable for a city of the stature of Chicago. So we went all out. It was a 3-day affair, and both were in the 600 and 700 people attended and participated in the festivities.
Wonderful. Well, I'll definitely look forward to future Bioneers conferences from the Chicago area. Now, just for those folks who might be stumbling on the name, I'm going to clarify that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's a combination of two words, pioneers, only biology is put in at the beginning. So it's like biology pioneers, bioneers.
That's correct. Biological pioneers.
And also, since Bioneers has been going on, I would guess, for maybe a decade, a lot of the past conferences, or at least speakers from the past conferences, are available as podcasts. Don't worry about having missed some of those. They're available, and they're past speakers are also played regularly on Free Speech TV and Link TV and other places on satellite TV.
That's true. There are on that's for the National Bioneers, and if one goes to the EcoJustice website, there are links to the Chicago Bioneers event and speakers like Vandana Shiva and Richard Heinberg from the Post Carbon Institute, John Michael Greer, Albert Bates, on and on. We've also done full recordings, video recordings of our speakers there. So there are links available for those folks.
Excellent. And we'll give a link to that in the written introduction to this episode of our podcast. Well, now, you know, the name EcoJustice Collaborative, and by the way, there's no punctuation in that if you're looking for it on the internet, EcoJusticeCollaborative.org. The collaborative part sounds like it's a group of organizations or a group of people working together.
Indeed, it is. It's more descriptive of our approach and how we work, how we accomplish our work. We are a fully volunteer organization with the minor exception of some income that my wife takes, but it's fairly nominal. So most of our work is through volunteers, through a network, putting together folks who are interested in the various aspects of EcoJustice Collaborative, and also by collaborating with other organizations. There's, for example, the Clean Power Coalition in Chicago that addressed the problem with the two power plants. We were instrumental in putting together over 60 organizations who worked on that in a coalition. We have other coalitions or alliances that we've been part of. There's the Heartland Coalfield Alliance in Illinois that works with local communities affected by the fossil fuel industry. We were charter members of that, and it's more descriptive of the way we work than any standard collaborative group that we have in a more, you know, static basis. We bring people together. We like to think of being coalition builders and bringing people together to work on some of these challenges that we face.
I understand that bringing people together has included taking trips with people to see mountaintop removal sites where the coal industry is literally removing mountaintops to get at coal seams.
That's true. In several years ago, we started one of the first of several delegations. And we found delegations are some of the best ways to get people connected. We can all read about issues. We can all intellectualize things. But when you go and see the people affected, see the land affected, or see the results of our actions, it takes it from the head to the heart and to the gut, so to speak. And so it's been very effective. We took several delegations to Appalachia to look at mountaintop removal mining. We've also taken delegations to Central Illinois. Oddly enough, there's a lot of impact going on with mining and hydraulic fracturing in Illinois, and so we've done delegations there, and we are open to more of those delegations. Really, we respond to people's interests, so we're always looking for people who are interested in various aspects of our work, and we're willing to try and make those connections to bring people closer to an understanding of what's happening in our world.
Well, Lan, this is very encouraging. Tell us about future plans you might have.
Well, right now, we, as I said, we've relocated to Champaign, Illinois. That's in central Illinois. Our work is, again, twofold. We're in two areas. One is the pushing back, I guess, if you will, bring forth stories of people in the communities who are affected by the extraction industry in Illinois. So we'll be continuing our work there. One aspect of that is working with coal ash and the disposal of coal ash. Right now, it's not well regulated in our state or in the United States. And if you recall, a few years ago in 2008, there was a major coal ash spill in Tennessee, in Kingston, Tennessee. And then this past year by Duke Energy or Duke Power in North Carolina. And so we have our own issues in Illinois. We'll be working on those, the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River as a coal ash pond that is leaching into the river and potentially could break. So we're working on that issue. Then we're also, as I said, we're in our new area here in Champaign. We want to build a network, and we hope to be doing more events and eventually a Bioneers conference or event in the Champaign-Urbana area. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us. It's what we do, get up every morning and try and do our best to connect people with how to live more appropriately, gentler on the earth, and address the big challenges ahead of us. I think it's important for everyone to understand that there's a role to play in making this earth a better place and in preserving it. We have been, I think most of us in the last couple generations have bought into the myth of unfettered, uncontrolled economic growth as a wonderful thing, and we've all in some sense benefited from it, but we have to make some choices, I think, at this point in history. And if we make the right choices, it will mean that our children and grandchildren, our future generations, have a suitable place to live. If we continue on the same path, as somebody once said, nature bats last. And we can continue to believe in the current economic system that we can consume as much as we want. There will always be more resources, more energy available. And I think there will be some catastrophic consequences if we make choices that live more where we are living more in harmony with the earth and provide for all, then I think we will see a positive future. And I think every one of us who is working for that has to get up each day and feel that we can make a contribution. I think one of the wonderful things about Lee Van Ham's new book is that it provides a measuring stick. I think I see it that way. It's kind of a scale that you can, each and every decision you make in your daily life, each and everything you support and how you buy and what you do, where you travel, what you eat, et cetera, can be held up against that one earth or multiple earth concept. And as we all know, we only have one earth. So we need to be making those choices accordingly. And I think Lee's new book is really a great way to hold up that measure in everything we do.
Is this a faith-based organization?
EcoJustice Collaborative, we like to think of as an organization for people of faith and conscience. We are not affiliated with any denomination. We are, in fact, while we can relate to faith-based, various faith-based traditions, we don't espouse or weave into our work a strong faith requirement. But certainly, you know, it came out of that place. Pam and I came out of that place as we formed EcoJustice Collaborative. But we find it better and has more palatability to a larger group of people if we again adopt this position. This is about faith and conscience, and no matter where you come from on that spectrum, we all need to be thinking about the dignity of life and preserving our earth from which all life comes in the practical sense.
Well, now, Jubilee Economics Ministries is not an overtly Christian organization, but Lee does use biblical imagery in his writings, especially in Blinded by Progress. He uses some very powerful images from the Old Testament. Now, you were in the formation of Jubilee Economics. You helped, I suppose, with some of the early writings, about corporate profits over against biblical profits. And I'm just wondering if you looking forward to any publications, or if you have a book in the works or anything like that.
No, we don't have any publications in the works right now. I've been prompted to perhaps lay out our overall story at some point, and have not done that. But no, don't have anything in the works. We have a lot to do with just our daily work with EJC. Otherwise, with respect to weaving in the biblical framework, I think it's fair to say when we speak to churches, which we occasionally do, that is something that we raise up and indeed draw on that foundational material that formed the basis for Jubilee Economics Ministry. So it isn't that we are afraid to go there. It's just that as in terms of an organization, we don't categorize ourselves as a faith-based group, but we certainly can and do bring those images and that tradition forward when it's appropriate.
Thanks again, Lan.
You've been listening to an interview by Jerry with Lan Richard. Jerry, I'd like you to share some news from what else is going on in the world of Simple Living Works.
On the other podcast I do, the Simple Living Works podcast, I continue a four-part series of Simple Living Works' signature publication, the Advent Christmas Annual for Families and Congregations called Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? It has contributions by Daniel Berrigan, Howard Sloan Coffin, Betsy Taylor, author Meg Cox, Susan Briel, blogger Susan Vogt, and more. Also, I've released a new 2014 online edition of Whose Birthday. See the links in the written introduction to this episode. Thanks to Peggy Hegeman for her recent comment about the value of Simple Living Works resources over the years. Her note came through Jubilee Economics.
I also have someone to thank, Jerry. I want to thank Kritika Narula. I hope I'm saying your name right, Kritika. Kritika lives in Delhi, and I, about 10 months ago, got a request from her for a review copy, and I thought, oh, jeepers, I'm going to send this all the way to Delhi. But, of course, I did. And I said, Kritika, I just ask that when you get it read, would you write a review? Well, in the last month, she's posted a really, well, she's just put herself into it, and she's posted a great review that I really appreciate. We'll give you a link to Goodreads website where you can read it in its full. I think it's also on the Amazon website. I'm also going to put a link to it on the One Earth Project website. In addition to my thanks to Kritika, I want to just give a quick a few other tidbits, quick headlines. Juanita and I are 6-7 weeks now into a shared housing adventure with Harry and Carol Watkins. We bought a house together, and we've started blogging about our experience. So go to the Jubilee Economics website. A blog is posted there that introduces a new tab on the website that's especially addressed to shared housing, and Harry's going to begin blogging on that soon. But you can read more about how we've shaped this and what we're doing and what we hope to achieve together. It's, for one thing, it's considerably more economical. Let us know what you think. And then I want to update you on another exciting thing. A colleague in the One Earth Project, a couple of colleagues, in fact, will be heading toward Houston, Texas in January to interview Daniel Quinn, the author of the best-selling book Ishmael. That book has impacted so many lives. He's changed my life, my thinking with that book, and I refer to it in Blinded by Progress. And so we're glad that he's going to be interviewed for the documentary that is starting to take shape, that Michael Johnson and Bob Sly and I are working on as the months unfold. And then I want to thank the donor for a $1,000 donation to the One Earth Project. Ooh, does that help? So that's going to help me get the first couple of chapters off to an editor, and we're well, that's of the second book I'm talking about, and so we're moving along on that. So I'm really glad you're with us today.
Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Call 858-480-6855 or go to thecommongoodpodcast.com and leave a message there or on our Facebook page. Time to wrap up episode 54 of the Common Good Podcast. If you haven't already subscribed, we hope you will now through iTunes or your favorite podcast service. We want to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. You can subscribe to the Common Good Podcast and our blog through our website, jubilee-economics.org. Urge your friends to do the same. When you subscribe, Jubilee Economics will send you, by request, some really good music, the Artists for Change CD. While you're planning your year-end giving, consider sending us a donation through the Donate button on the jubilee-economics.org website. We're an all-volunteer 501c3 nonprofit organization, so your donations are tax-deductible. Donate $50 or more, all at once or in quarterly payments, and receive, upon request, an autographed copy of Lee's new book, Blinded by Progress. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson with co-host Lee Van Ham of the Common Good Podcast, wishing you well as we strive together to bring One Earth Economics into being for the common good.